I thought about a New Year's message for today that would maybe lay out some goals and some, what do they call them, New Year's resolutions. But then I saw somebody posted on Facebook for all that decided to make the resolution to eat better in 2022 and put it off till Monday. I think Teresa put that in there, and I thought, well, probably most of us, we made resolutions, we've already fallen. We've already failed. Sometimes we make resolutions and we set goals that are impossible to keep. Maybe we ought to just bring them down to a level where they're somewhat measurable, somewhat attainable. And that would probably help. Here's an example. Instead of saying, you know, I'm a lose weight in 2022. Why don't you say, I'm going to walk 4 times a week for X amount of minutes. It's measurable. Maybe the weight will come off, maybe it won't. I don't know. Well, set something that you can attain. I think one of the best goals that a Christian can set every year is to read the Bible through in a year. Especially if you've never done it before. You ought to try it. See what would happen. You could set different. Maybe you say, you know what, I'm just going to read the New Testament. My mom was in town this last week. She's over at Ashley's home today, and hopefully she's going to fly out tomorrow. That's still yet to be seen. But she and I were talking, and as we were talking, she was sharing with me some of the things that have happened in her life and some of the things that have happened in her family's life. And she's concerned about many of them. Many of them are lost. In fact, most of them are lost. And my mom was talking about the day that she got saved. I led my mom to the Lord in her kitchen one rainy morning. I think it was a Monday. Might not have been. But she was talking about how that changed her life. And she set a goal every year to try to read the Bible through. She said, I haven't done it yet. She said, and she's been watching some of the old Sunday night videos on Revelation because it's a book that she just doesn't understand. And I told her, I said, for this year then, why don't you start in the New Testament and read that through and then move over to the Old Testament after that. Maybe just set a goal to read the New Testament through. In a year. That's an attainable goal. So I would encourage you to set something like that and follow that. But I didn't know where to start the year at. I still don't have a theme for this year. I don't know what God's going to give us. We've kicked around 1,000 of them, but none of them have kind of stuck. I didn't know what to preach today. The Lord led me back to the Gospel of Mark for to continue on. Often when we read this story, we read about the sin of Peter, and that's what the focal point is. I believe that Peter's sin that he commits here is the worst sin that any saint recorded in the Bible committed. It's worse than the sin of Judas, because Judas was an unsaved man. The sin of a saved person is always worse than the sin of an unsaved person. I think this sin ranks higher than David's murder, David's adultery. And the reason why is because of how close Peter was to Jesus and how quickly he fell. But we often look at the fall of Peter and we focus on that. But as we read this and we go through this today, I want you to look at this with me today. God's forgiveness. God's restoration. Because all of us are going to fall. All of us are going to fail. But the Lord's mercies are there every day. Peter failed God, and he failed God in a big way. We all know that. Peter was a saved man. There is hope there in this passage. Because Peter's story does not end with him failing God. And that doesn't have to be your end either. Peter failed God in a big way, but he was forgiven, he was restored, and he was used by God. This story showcases, demonstrates, exhibits the forgiveness of God in the life of a fallen saint. Peter's story is important for us because we all find ourselves in the place of failure from time to time. And when we do, it is a comfort to know that our Heavenly Father is a God of boundless, unlimited love, unending mercy, and absolute, total forgiveness. It's a blessing to know that just because we're down doesn't mean we have to be out. Just the fact that we have failed the Lord and sinned against Him does not mean that we're doomed to end our lives like that. So if you're in trouble, I want you to know that you can see a way out of it. If you're headed for trouble, I want you to be able to recognize those signs in your life today. If you've ever been restored, I want to remind you of God's great grace in your life. Because He's a God of restoration. And all God's people said, Amen. Mark 14, verse number 66 today. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch. The cock crew. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after there stood by, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he thought thereon and wept. Four thoughts today. Number one, it won't change, Amber. I don't know what's going on, so you might have to click it for me. Peter's rejection of knowing Jesus. Jesus had just been arrested by the Jewish leaders. They had set up a sham trial. They were aided by the Roman soldiers, and all this was done to guarantee a guilty verdict that he'd be put to death. When Jesus is arrested, every one of his disciples ran away in fear. But two follow, kind of far off. Right, look with me in verse number 54. Verse 54 of Mark 14, it says, And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and sat with the servants, and warmed himself at the fire. As Peter sits at this courtyard, he sits by this fire, he's approached by a woman. I got no doubt that she didn't walk up to him and just whisper and say, You're one of them. She probably shouted it, probably drew attention. When Peter hears her words, he immediately denies any connection with Jesus. Maybe saying something like this, What? In a loud voice, What? I don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy. And as soon as Peter makes that first denial, the rooster crows. At that point, God was giving him a warning and he should have walked out of there. But how many of us have gotten into a situation And even though God prompted us, God spoke to us, we still move forward knowing that we shouldn't do this. Jesus had told him very clearly what would happen and how it would happen. But at this point, Peter didn't care about roosters. He was trying to deflect the attention off of him. Maybe he was scared. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But then he walks away, moves away, and kind of wants to blend in with the crowd. He begins to hide himself. And in verse number 69, we see, he had went out onto the porch in verse 68, and a maid saw him again. The second time, Peter apparently denied Jesus with an oath. The idea there was, I swear before God that I don't know this man. Wow! How fast and how far this saint of God is falling. Peter's angry, frustrated, confused, probably embarrassed. But more than anything, I believe he's afraid. Apparently, he can see some of the things that are going on with Jesus as they're slapping him and beating him and all that. And Peter's approached a third time. Verse number 70. It says, and he denied it again, and a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, said, surely thou art one of them. You're a Galilean. Your accent, your speech betrays you. Here in America, we have people from all different parts of the nation. Normally, you can tell a little bit about where they're from based on their accent. Some of us that are from the South that have moved up here, we've lost part of that. But if I go and spend a week with my dad, it'll come right back. But Peter's accent identified him as being from Galilee, which is where all of the disciples other than Judas were from. But then verse 71, he began to curse and to swear. The idea here isn't that he began to use swear words. It means that he began to invoke God as his ultimate witness. It would sound something like this. May God Almighty damn me to hell if I'm lying. If what I'm saying is a lie, may God take my life right now. How far and how fast this saint of God has fallen. Peter's on dangerous ground. First he lies, then he tells a double lie to cover up the first lie, which is usually what happens. You know, the truth is always easier to remember. Always. Then he tries to prove his lies by taking God's name in vain. May I say this today? Only by the grace of God did Peter not die at this moment. Number two, what were some of the reasons for Peter's rejection of Jesus? What happened to bring him to this place? This is a man who just 4 or 5 hours earlier swore that he would die for Jesus rather than deny him. This is the man that within the last 2 hours cut somebody's ear off with a sword trying to protect Jesus. But there the same Peter stands there calling down the curses of God upon him if he's lying about knowing Jesus. Can I say this? I don't believe Peter ever thought this would happen to him. neither does any saint that falls away from God. There are a few warning signs. In fact, there were a lot of them in the life of Peter. Tonight I'm going to go into part of those, but I'm not going to go into all of them this morning. I'll give you a couple of them. One of the reasons, he was self-confident. I can live for Jesus on my own. No, you can't. He told Jesus, he said, everybody else may forsake you, but I never will. Defiance. We see in verse number 54, he was following him afar off. Begin to separate. When he was separated from Jesus, he began to be filled with fear and doubt. He's there at that fire. He's surrounded by a company of people that hate Jesus. One of the greatest principles that came out of the Reformers Unanimous program, which is an addictions recovery program, Bible-based addictions recovery program. One of the greatest statements that ever came out of it is this: those who do not love the Lord will not help you serve the Lord. If they do not love God, you will become just like them if you hang with them. You say, well, I don't believe that. Right? That's a perfect example of it. Who could have been any closer to Jesus than Peter was? None of us. Not a one of us in this room could claim that at a time in our life we have been so close to Jesus that we've touched Him like Peter. Peter saw his miracles. He saw Him raise people from the dead. He saw evidence that He was the Son of God. He worshipped Him. He followed Him. He did all of that, yet he denies Him. Wrong company will result in wrong living, which will result in wrong loving, which will result in a brutal fall. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I challenge you today. I challenge every believer in this room, those that may listen now or listen later, I challenge you to examine your life in light of Peter's. He failed because he allowed these things to remain in his life. Peter rejected Jesus. There were reasons for it. But I want you to look with me in verse number 72 and see this. Peter's remorse. We could call it his repentance, but his remorse. Number three, Amber. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him before the cock crowed twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Just like Jesus said, by the way. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Luke tells the same story and he adds something to it that Mark doesn't have. Luke says this: whenever the rooster crowed the second time, the Word of God says, and the Lord turned, Jesus turned, and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. When Peter denied Jesus the last time, imagine, the Lord Jesus is up there, standing trial, waiting to go into the judgment hall to be judged by Pilate, to be beaten by the Roman soldiers. He's already been beaten by the Jewish leaders. They've already done much to him. And as soon as Peter denied, Jesus turns. Peter looks. And all he can see are the eyes of Jesus. Do you think the Lord's eyes were filled with hate and anger? Do you think that he looked at Peter with a look of judgment? I think his eyes were filled with hurt. And as Peter looked at his Lord, I think he also saw love, grace, forgiveness, compassion, mercy. I think that look said, "Peter, I tried to warn you, but you didn't listen. You denied me just like I said that you would." In one look, "But Peter, I still love you. Peter, you may have denied me, but I'll never deny you." I didn't notice what it says in the end. The last two words, "He wept." That phrase means to be broken down. One of the other Gospels says he went out and wept bitterly. What's he doing now? He's repenting. He failed. He has fallen. I think of this passage and I think of so many things. One of the things I think about is this. God sees the waywardness in my life too. He sees the sin that I tolerate in my life. He sees the evil attractions that we follow after. He sees the forbidden relationships or friendships that we keep. He looks upon everything. And He hates the sins that drags us away from Him. But He loves us in spite of our sins. And He calls us to come back to Him. That's what that look was. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we refuse to come back, there's chastening that'll happen. The Bible says, "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." In Hebrews chapter 12. We see Peter, his rejection of the Lord Jesus. The reasons that he probably told himself while it was happening. We see his remorse. Number four, I want you to see with me. Peter's restoration. This is the good part. The restoration of a fallen saint. Mark 16. After the resurrection, Mary Magdalene and the others have come to the empty tomb. Praise God for that. They see a young man who thought was a young man that was seated there. He was clothed in a white garment. Of course, he's an angel. And this angel says in verse number 6, he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted, be not afraid." Boy, isn't that what God says over and over and over again? Don't be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. If you don't have this phrase underlined in your Bible, you ought to. He is not here. He is risen. Sorry, I got it backwards. Behold the place where they laid him. And then now, notice verse number 7. God, no doubt, told this angel specifically what to say. An angel is an ambassador, a messenger for God. Verse number 7, he says, "Now you've seen the empty tomb. He's not here. He's risen like he said. Go your way. Tell his disciples," and circle the next two words in your Bible, and who? And Peter. That he goeth before you into Galilee. There's no question that Peter failed the Lord in a huge way. No question that the fall was all his fault. There was no question that Peter was out of God's will. There's no question, though, that he truly repented. And there's no question that he was forgiven and restored. Go with me to John chapter 21. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. All right, just a couple books over. John 21. John 21. After the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the disciples and Peter had gone back to fishing. They didn't know exactly what to do. But all of a sudden, they look up on the shore and there is Jesus. Verse number 15. Jesus had cooked them a meal. And it says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he saith to him again, the second time. Imagine what the other disciples are thinking. Imagine what Peter's thinking. He certainly doesn't like to be pointed out like this. Simon, verse number 16, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter is grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Notice Peter's response. He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. I'm reminded here in this passage as Jesus tells him, feed my lamb, feed my sheep, that people need the Bible more than they need anything. Three times he asked Peter, how many of you think that that is not a coincidence? Amen. By the way, look at it in verse number 14. Verse number 14. Now this is the, what is it? The third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was risen. That number three pops up a lot after Peter's denial. Jesus asked Peter three times, does he love him? Three times Jesus affirms his love, or Peter affirms his love for Jesus. And in this passage, you can see that Jesus promises to use Peter now. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter number 2, Peter, the fallen, restored saint of God, stands, being filled with the Holy Ghost, preaches the Word of God. And anybody know how many people came to know Jesus that day and were baptized? 3,000. There's that number again. Can I tell you something? God can use you far greater than your sin can ever take you. Peter denied him three times, but Jesus used him 3,000. Peter failed God, but he repented and he was forgiven and restored by the very God that he denied. What the Lord did for Peter, he's done for many in this room. There are people that are sitting here, people that will probably be listening who've walked away from God, denying Him by the words they spoke and the lives they lived. Some of those people came back. And when they did, they were forgiven and they were used by God and are being used by God in a glorious way. I'll throw this in as kind of a bonus. Because sometimes whenever someone repents and comes back, there are always those that don't want to forgive or forget. You know what the Bible says? Brethren, you which are spiritual. He says, you brethren, if you see a man overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you've wandered away from God, you can come home. If you will, the Lord will receive you and He'll forgive you and He'll do more than that. He'll restore you and use you for His glory. If you're not where you need to be, if your relationship with Jesus is not as close as it used to be or should be, come home today. Don't wait. Don't delay. Peter learned his lesson and he repented and he was restored. See, that's the key. We've got to learn our lesson. We've got to repent and let Him restore us. Amber, last slide today. Can you see the danger signs in your life? This is just a few of them. Pride. Prayerlessness, self-confidence, disobedience, compromise, impulsiveness, bad company. Those are danger signs. You're warming yourself by that strange fire. If these danger signs are in your life, you're headed for danger, headed for trouble, and you don't even realize it. But God does. I got an idea. There's a couple in this room today. God's saying, before the month is out, you'll deny me three times. Jesus had told Peter early on in his ministry, he said, Peter, Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Declaration. By the way, I believe that's true for every believer. I believe the devil desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But then Jesus said something. He said, but I've prayed for thee. Listen again to Luke 22. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. If the Lord could see Peter, then Peter could see the Lord. Jesus turned and Peter could see them as they spit in His face. He could see them as they were hitting Him, mocking Him, abusing Him. Peter could still see the Lord, yet he fell. If Peter could fall, so could you and I. Are there danger signs in your life? If you're here today and you're away, It's time to close in. If you're here today and you've been restored, today is a day to say, thank you, God. If you're here today and you're not saved, today is a day. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning, please.